Welcome to Cancer Out Loud, the Cancer Care Podcast, a show featuring conversations with people living with cancer, caregivers, survivors, loved ones, and the bereaved. Hosted by oncology social workers, Cancer Out Loud takes a closer look at the cancer experience using the power of storytelling. Whether you are a patient, survivor, caregiver, someone that lost a loved one, or someone hoping to find inspiration, Cancer Out Loud is your sanctuary, a place to find hope, understanding, and a sense of community. This podcast is produced by Cancer Care, the leading national nonprofit organization providing free professional support services to anyone affected by cancer. Facing cancer comes with many challenges, but finding the right treatment shouldn't be one. Welcome to Cancer Care's My Trialist, your free online guide to understanding and finding clinical trials tailored to your needs. Developed through conversations with healthcare experts and insights from those who've been there, My Trialist simplifies the complex world of clinical trials. It's a resource designed to empower you with knowledge and options. Here, you can easily navigate through trial options, learn from the experiences of others, and perhaps see a new horizon in your treatment experience. My Trialist is about offering hope and support every step of the way. Discover more about clinical trials that could be right for you or your loved one. Begin your informed search today. Because at My Trialist, we believe in empowering your journey with hope and knowledge. Welcome back to Cancer Out Loud, the Cancer Care Podcast. My name is Sarah Paul, Senior Director of Social Work and your host. This is part two of Ira's story, where we learn more about the emotional support he received and how his life perspective changed with his cancer diagnosis. Welcome back, Ira.
Welcome back, Sarah. It's great to be with you.
The first part of your episode focuses on the logistics of your cancer journey, but I wanted to spend more time talking about what helped you through this experience. What was your support system like?
Sarah, I had a great support system from the beginning through treatments and scans and chemotherapy and the surgery and post-surgery. And during the last year after the surgery, my support is like across the board. It includes, of course, my family, my wife, brother, my nieces, my mother-in-law, sister-in-laws, brother-in-law, stepdaughters, cousins, among others. It includes friends, lifetime friends who are actually all family to me. It includes the support that I've gotten from the hospital, the various medical teams, from the oncologists, the surgeons, the nurses, the social workers. It includes the great support I've gotten from your organization, Cancer Care, from individual therapy, specifically from you and the various support groups that I've been involved in. I'll be starting a new one in a couple of weeks. I also had got support from my colleagues at my job. At one point, I was staying at a hotel, hotels in Manhattan, to be closer to my treatment providers. And the support I got from the hotel staff, the employees there, was also great. I've also been a member of a couple of Facebook pages, groups, actually, that help people who have been diagnosed with stomach cancer and also have gotten their stomachs removed and their caregivers. And those groups have been great also. So it's been a combination of family, friends, colleagues, medical staff, rehab staff, Cancer Care, friends, and Facebook pages. And if I'm missing anyone or any group, I'm sorry, but everyone has been great. I feel like I'm accepting an award here I won an award. I'm like missing someone, but everyone has been terrific, and they continue to be terrific, and you realize who's really there for you. And some people have been more consistent than others in helping me, and others have come in from time to time, and I know they're busy with their own lives, but when they come in and they talk to me, wherever they may be, in New York City or in other parts of the country, I even have a good friend who is stationed over in Belgium that we talk and so on. But my wife and the rest of my family, my friends, and everyone else that I mentioned have been super in helping me get through this. And they will continue being there for me. You can't do this alone. And there's no shame in asking people for support. Sometimes you want to be alone. Sometimes you need time to decompress and you need your alone time. But you also, no matter how strong you are, no matter what type of cancer you have, no matter what stage you're at, you really need that support there. You need it. And there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't make you weak or, you know, not strong. It actually makes you stronger by relying on those people, especially if they're willing to help you. And when they help you, they're not feeling bad for you or sad for you or pitying you. They're there for you because they like you, they love you, and they want to see you around for a long time. They don't want to see you go. I've also been on numerous prayer groups, friends and family who partake in prayer groups. I'm not a very religious person. I'm on their prayer groups. It's also been super, and you've been super, and other people at Cancer Care have been super also.
Thanks for that, Ira. And it really sounds like you've had such a wide support network. And like you said, you know, you can't do this alone. It's way too difficult to take on just by yourself without the support of loved ones and family members and those in your support system. I know you mentioned getting individual counseling with me at Cancer Care and also joining a support group. What was specific about Cancer Care's help that made you feel supported?
Well, Cancer Care's mission, as you're well aware of, is to help and support people diagnosed with different types of cancer, including stomach cancer, gastric cancer, and beyond, and their caregivers. I really needed someone to talk to that had the expertise in this area of helping others with cancer. I knew I couldn't do it alone. I've had therapy in the past, not regarding diagnosis of cancer or diagnosis of some other serious medical condition. And it was important to me to talk. It's one thing to talk to family and friends and colleagues about what you're going through. And sometimes you get really good, solid advice and you have that support. But other times you need to speak to someone who has that experience and expertise in the field that could tell you things and get you through certain things that a layperson, lack of a better way of putting it, is not going to be able to help you or guide you through and so on. And with therapy and with all other relationships, for the most part, it has to be a chemistry there. So you have to feel good when you're talking to someone, you feel comfortable talking to someone, you're able to open up and not say only certain things and other things that are just important or maybe even more important, you hold back. And with Cancer Care, with you as my individual counselor for several sessions, I appreciate that very much. I felt that chemistry, you know, before the first session, whatever it was, I think it was like 45 minutes, maybe a little longer, that the first time around an hour. So I felt that right away. So I felt comfortable talking to you going forward and opening it up and not holding anything back, you know, and venting and asking for advice and getting your input that helped me, you know, get through the day or get through the next few days and so on until we had the opportunity to speak again. Now, as far as the support groups are concerned, I started out with support groups that included it wasn't a post-treatment support group. And there were different people in the group, and no one else had been diagnosed with gastric cancer, but others had been diagnosed with other very serious types of cancer. And everyone, there's a lot of differences in our stories, you know, how we got there, the diagnosis, what we're going through now, support from family and friends, different experiences with our medical doctors and our medical team and our oncologists and surgeons. But then again, there's a lot of similarities. And even though some of the same procedures, some of the same treatments, some of the same frustrations sometimes with medical teams, with insurances, scheduling, and so on, that was very helpful. And then I went into a post-treatment support group that was equally helpful. That ended in or about September of last year. And I took a break, and then I'm starting another post-treatment support group through Cancer Care at the end of February. I'm looking forward to that, talking and sharing things and getting help from the social worker who will be leading that group and the fellow clients, patients of Cancer Care, getting help from them. And hopefully some things that I say or some advice that I can give can help them also, even if it's something that might seem minor that can help them regarding one aspect that they need help in or something along those lines. But it is very helpful to reach out. You can't do this by yourself. There is no way you could be the strongest person ever, physically, mentally, emotionally, physically, before this diagnosis. There's no shame to reaching out and getting all the help that's available, whether it's from cancer care, whether it's for your friends and family, other organizations, and so on.
How has your perspective on life and your priorities changed since your diagnosis?
You don't take things for granted, number one. Put things in perspective. You realize that you have more of a drive to live, more desire to do things like in the past. And just a lot of people go through this, even people that aren't diagnosed with cancer or other serious medical conditions. You put things off. It's like, oh, I could do it next week or something like that. Next week comes, you don't do it. Next thing you know, it's 2 years later. The goal is to try doing these things. Not everything, you know, put together a bucket list. You might not be able to get through most of it. You might only be able to get through one or two things, but at least it's one or two things. Don't put things off. Appreciate life more. Do things at the moment, you know. Do things at the moment. Tell people how you feel. So sometimes, God forbid, it might be too late. I lost one of my best friends for 40 years. He had been diagnosed with lung cancer long before I was diagnosed with stomach gastric cancer. And we had been out of touch for a while when I was down in Florida and so on. And we started talking more after I got back to New York, talking about my diagnosis and everything. And then we got the call that he passed away, and I went to his funeral with another one of my best friends. We all started together in college many years ago, and he passed away. And he was a few months older than me, and he passed away. And that was tough. That was tough. And I remember going to his funeral and then the cemetery, the burial afterwards, right afterwards. And his brother spoke and a cousin spoke. And I remember one of the things the cousin said. He was talking about how him and Steve were very close. And Steve came to the cousin's, I think the cousin's child had a bar mitzvah, but like a year earlier. And he said, Steve was there and you would have never known that he was sick at that time. And I kept thinking about that because it already happened. Beginning of October, my niece got married. And I was definitely going to go and everything. And I kept thinking, I wish my parents were here to see their beautiful granddaughter get married and so on. And I kept saying to myself, I want to go. Hopefully I'll feel okay. I'll try to avoid eating certain foods. All I want to do is to see my brother walk my niece down the aisle. If I'm not feeling well, I've had to go back to the hotel. This was out in Long Island. My wife came with me. As long as I see him walk down the aisle and she gets married, I'll be fine. And then I kept thinking about what Steve's cousin said. I kept thinking, I was a little bit morbid, but I was thinking, I don't want to be like a year from now, God forbid, if something happens to me. I don't want people to say, oh, we saw Ira at his niece Chelsea's wedding and he looked good and he was happy and he was telling us what happened. And he was on the dance floor dancing with Ivy, his wife, and so on. And now he's not here. I kept thinking about that. But Steve is missed. Basically, my thing is that going forward, be cautiously optimistic. Try to do some community service. Volunteer if you can. Mentor, educate. Put down your feelings in a log. I know we spoke about this many times, and I never did it, and I regret not doing that. Focus what is really important in your life. And it shouldn't be your job. It should be your family or friends. Number one. Nothing even comes a close second. Be realistic. Life is too short and it goes by too fast.
What great messages and words of wisdom. Thank you for sharing that. Was there anything that you did to mark your cancer experience?
I actually, on an emotional level, which helps me, I kind of wear this like a badge of courage. It's actually made me stronger in many respects. I actually got a tattoo back in June, and I've been talking about getting a tattoo for years, long before getting sick, the diagnosis, the surgeries, and so on, the chemos, the CAT scans, blah, blah, blah. It says, to be continued. It's been a motto of mine for years, and it means more now. I got this done. It was costly. I got it done in East Village of Manhattan, but it was a gift to myself. I got it done. It wasn't really that painful, you know? It wasn't that painful, and I've decided that I'm going back to get another tattoo. This one is on my left arm. I'm getting one on my right arm that's going to be between my elbow and wrist. It's going to say cancer survivor. And as you know, there's different colored ribbons depending on what type of cancer you have. So I'm going to get the ribbon, then cancer survivor, and another ribbon right there. Tattoos on both arms. I wear it proudly. But And I don't mind talking about it beyond doing the podcast. It's the first time I've ever done a podcast. I always wanted to do a podcast. I don't mind talking about it. I don't mind people telling other people about it and so on. I just don't know what the future's going to be for me, but I really do want to give back. I want to give back. Some people don't want to give back, and I respect that 100%. But for me, I just can't go for this. I haven't gone for this and be a survivor, be in remission, and not do anything back for the community and so on. If I could just touch one person's life, make a difference, even if it's a small difference, you know, for the podcast or for some other means, it would mean a lot. It would definitely mean a lot to me and so on.
Well, I think that this is a great first step. You're sharing your story with the cancer community and letting other people know that they're not alone in their experience, even if their experience is different than yours. So I do want to talk a little bit about what it has been like returning to work and how you navigated changes in your career while undergoing treatment and surgery and everything like that.
For the first few months, I had a lot of vacation time, personal time. So that took, I was doing some work anyway from the rehab, which was, looking back at it, was like, you know, I couldn't believe I was doing it. I was so weak and everything. But during the months of like latter June, July, August, and into September, I was just part-time pushing myself. And I couldn't even do that with the chemo and the side effects and everything. Then I went on long-term disability starting in October. And my office was great. My director, the HR director, conversations with her team and so on, and all that stuff. After I got the good first post-CAT scan results in August, approximately six months after the surgery, and the blood work came back fine, I went back to work at the beginning of October. And I'm an attorney. I've been practicing for over two decades, many different jobs throughout my time as being an attorney. It's almost going to be 9 years now. It'll be 9 years, February of 2024. I've been working as a senior staff attorney at the New York Legal Assistance Group. It's a not-for-profit agency in Manhattan. Specifically, I'm in the legal health division at NILAG. NILAG is short for the New York Legal Assistance Group. And what we do is, I'm kind of like plugging them, but they deserve a plug. We go out to many different hospitals and other organizations. We have medical legal partnerships. We meet with clients and patients of these hospitals and other organizations and provide help regarding civil legal services. We have clinics at different hospitals and so on. And these services range from immigration, housing, different types of benefits, Social Security, helping with advanced directives, which would be wills, powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, advice and counsel on family law, debt collection, and so on. And before I got sick, and even before that, my previous job, I was representing people with HIV and AIDS. I'm a previous job I had before starting at NILAG. But at NILAG specifically, I had clients who I saw who had cancer. They were diagnosed with different types of cancer. Some of them, actually, if I remember correctly, I think all of them came in from another country. The intention with a visa or a tourist visa to visit friends, relatives, or just visit, their intention was to go back to their home country, and then they got sick. And they were diagnosed with a type of cancer. And they started treatment up here, whether it was radiation or chemo and so on. And the treatments that they had back in their home country wasn't up to par like we have here. And so I would help them out with extensions of their visa. So their visa is, you know, six months. And if they didn't go back, that means they overstayed. We would do extensions of visas, applications, and put supporting documentation together, letters from their doctors and letters showing that they have ties to their home country and they do intend to go back, but they need like up to an additional 6 more months to stay here to get their care and so on. And, you know, you're talking to these people and you see what they're going, you hear what they're going through and everything and helping them out and all that. And prior to coming back from Florida, I was doing this remotely with the help of one of our paralegals who was in New York, helping someone who came in to visit relatives and then she got sick and she was actually diagnosed with stomach cancer. And that time, I didn't know I was sick. I didn't know I was going to go back to New York about a month later. And then two or three months later, then I got diagnosed and so on. So I saw what these patients, these clients were going through. And I kept wondering to myself, I'm going to go back. I know I'm going to, at some point, have some patients that are diagnosed with cancer. They could be born in the United States and they need help, not with immigration, but maybe with a housing issue or a disability issue, a medical insurance issue or something. How am I going to deal with it? You know, how am I going to deal with it? I'm going to sit there now, and now I'm going to know what they're going through. They might have a different type of cancer, but when they start bringing up neuropathy, they start bringing up chemo, they start bringing up interactions with their doctors, pros and cons. I know what they're going through. And actually, I had a patient a few weeks ago over the phone, and he had stomach cancer. Now, before, I was able to be sympathetic to them. I was able to rise to the occasion and do my legal work and get them the benefits they needed and so on, and the extensions to stay here and get the care they needed and the treatment, which they couldn't get back in their home country. But now I know what they're going through. I have a different perspective doing this now. And most people at the office, you know what I've been through, and they know why I was out on medical leave. And I had concerns about coming back. Should I come back full time or just come back part time? It was like, okay, I'm going to go back full time. And the long-term disability company that my office has, they said to me, you know, I had like an exit interview before I got my last payment, my last disability payment. They said, if you feel you need to go on leave again, and you do it within the next 6 months, which would bring me to like around March, the process of you getting back on disability won't be as like thorough as it was back, you know, during the summer, early fall of 2022, because there was a whole process there. And I also had to have my oncologist, while I was out, fill out these FMLA forms, family medical leave forms, and I had to submit it to my the HR director at my office, actually, and so on, and give it to her to show that, okay, this is where he is at the treatment, this is why he can't come back, he needs to be out up until this point, and when that point came, you know, it was extended again. So, but the team has been great. My director, associate director, supervisors, like colleagues, HR department, IT, everyone has been very supportive also, in addition to family, friends, and everyone else. But I'm going to be cautiously optimistic going forward, trying not to push myself. I'm still using Ubers for the most part to get to and from clinics. I'm able to do clinics on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The rest of the week, I'm able to work remotely, which is great for me. I have my laptop and printer. I don't have to go traveling or go to an office or anything like that. Occasionally, I'll have to go to the office myself. It's good for me now. I'm looking forward to get another NED CAT scan result, get blood work, that's good, and getting my tattoo and moving on. And I guess after that, it'll be every few months I'll get blood work, and every 6 months I'll get a CAT scan. That will go on for maybe the next 3 or 4 years or something. I think they're kind of like going to watch me like a hawk, you know, and everything, which is fine.
Well, I know that the surveillance phase can be both a blessing and a curse, so I understand that. Can you share any wisdom around dealing with insurance or navigating the healthcare system?
The insurance, there's been some bumps in the road with the insurance throughout this time, but overall the insurance came through and paid for all, you know, CAT scans and hospital admissions, stays with the surgery and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it could be sometimes the insurance. I've heard of people having insurance issues, and it was like they weren't going to pay for a second PET scan. It's like, why not? My treating doctor wants it. You have someone on your board that's reviewing something that never met me. They're following some guidelines. They don't want, you know, you're going to get into those situations. It's going to get frustrating and so on. And sometimes you have to fight it and so on. But other times you just have to put things in perspective and move on. And if you need a second opinion, get a second opinion. Get a third opinion. And ask questions. Don't think you're being difficult or you're asking a question. If you have to ask it a second or third time, ask it. You have to feel comfortable in your treatment and ask those questions. Get those I's dotted, get those T's crossed, and do what you can to survive. Do what you can. Don't let it get the best of you. I know it's easier said than done. It takes over your life emotionally and physically. Sometimes it comes at people more aggressively, and it comes at a late stage where there's not that much to do, but just fight. Fight for yourself. If you have young kids, fight for them. Just do whatever you can to take on cancer and win, and hopefully win at the end of the day. No matter how strong you think you might be, you need help. And by needing help and reaching out to organizations like Cancer Care, your family, friends, doctors, and so on, other support mechanism, colleagues from work and so on, it's not a weakness. I look at it this way, it's actually a strength that you realize you can't do it by yourself. You need to get the help. And sometimes you will need those down moments where you want to be by yourself, you're depressed, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Sometimes you might be, but you have to get yourself up there and so on. You have to hope that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and everything. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk and express my feelings. And
thank you so much for sharing so openly. Your messages and words of wisdom are exactly what our listeners need to hear. Now, before we wrap up today, is there anything that we missed?
We went through a lot, you know, the chemo and the surgery and breaking the leg and this and everything in between and afterwards and work and family and friends and support groups and so on. So,
and who knows, maybe we'll bring you back in the future for an episode about your survivorship and how everything is going.
Oh, I would definitely like to do that. I would definitely like to come back and give an update, and hopefully it's positive and upbeat, and hopefully it doesn't come back, you know, and so on. But a good friend of mine told me a while back, he said, Ira, if it does come back, you fight like you fought before up until this point. You know how to fight. So if it does come back again, it's obviously not good, but you continue that fight. You don't give up if it comes back again. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow his advice and follow other people's advice. Don't give up, fight. My wife told me that many a times when I felt like I was giving up before the surgery. She said, fight. Don't give up. Fight, fight, fight.
Thank you so much, Ira, again, for sharing your story with us and the listeners and for really taking us through your entire journey.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Cancer Out Loud, the Cancer Care podcast. Cancer Care is the leading national nonprofit organization providing free professional support services, including resource navigation, cancer-focused counseling, support groups, educational resources, and financial assistance to anyone affected by cancer. You can visit us online at cancercare.org or call our toll-free HOPE line at 800-813-HOPE. That's 800-813-4673 to speak with a Master's Prepared Oncology Social Worker.